If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the One Supreme Self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Our seminar topic is maintaining composure, neutrality, and God awareness while serving and addressing global issues. So if you're ready, call yourself forward into that alignment that allows your highest divine principles to integrate, align, and completely embody as much as you can receive into your physical and mental and emotional bodies. Take a deep breath. And allow that infusion to take place. And kind of pay attention how that feels as that energy comes down through you. It's been called the anointing. It's when the higher divine principles that you truly embody melt into and wed with your physical instrument, which enables you to live and to operate from a level that bypasses all of the snags and pitfalls and gnarliness of identifying with your lesser self. Truly, all of our problems come when we lose awareness of the necessity for calling ourselves forward. You have to do that yourself. Spirit never inflicts itself on you. You will not inflict yourself on yourself if your human personality prefers to live from the ego. That's why the more we can fill ourselves with this higher loving energy, the less the ego has any toehold to operate through us. And gradually, it's sort of like pouring clear water into a glass that's filled with muddy water. You keep pouring that clear water of the living spirit through you until the mud of the ego is washed away. It's just that simple. But you have to do it yourself. You have to have the wit to take responsibility for your state of being, for the quality of your life, and for your own spiritual integration and emancipation. It can only be gotten through your own efforts. Divine grace will meet you and fulfill you when you've done your part of preparing the instrument. But preparing the instrument is up to you. So, we're in a very strange position on this planet, having been born at this time, at the close of a 2,500 year cycle, a 26,000 year cycle, the changing of the equinox to a new age, and at the same time, none of this is real. It's all a conjuration of mental theory and suppositions and mental constructs that are set forth as if they were eternal realities, and yet at the same time, every enlightened being tells us that this is Maya, that we're actually revisiting the past that's already been completed. We've been here, done this, completed it, and are not even here in any real sense. And isn't it odd? We're called forward to deal with it as if it were real. Why? Well, only God knows. But God lives in us as us, so there's a part of us that does know, but maybe it's just not our business to know it at this time. Have you noticed that your knowing comes online when it's needed and not just because we're curious? Have you noticed? You can't just ask idle questions of yourself at that level when there's no real reason to have that information come forward. Pay attention to that. That it's always as it's needed. So right now, we're asked to do what Krishna did in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, having no reason to act, I act for the benefit of all sentient beings. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're divine inserts into the illusion field to walk it awake and aware. Just like Jesus, the Master, did. He entered the holodeck and never forgot for a moment who he was and why he was here and who he served. And he was tested because, like many of you today, he was a disciple and an initiate. And walk the same path that every single disciple and initiate is called to walk. And so our biggest challenge is maintaining composure, neutrality, and God awareness while we're serving down here in this play of consciousness and addressing global issues. Sai Baba has said that the world is afflicted with seven kinds of diseases or diseases. Number one, business without morality. This is a major malady afflicting the entire world. Number two, politics without principles. Three, education without character. Four, sustenance without sacrifice. Five, a harvest without labor. Six, humanness without virtue. And seven, devotion without faith. And he goes on to say, what is the use of devotion without faith? What is the use of claiming to be a human without human qualities? How can you expect a crop without cultivation? What is the use of education without character? We sure don't have any classes in developing a noble, brave, and courageous character, do we? No. So he goes on to say, three things are most essential today: morality in business, politics with principle, and education with character. Today, these seven diseases are causing all of the troubles the world over and in every nation. Everywhere you turn, there is disorder, misery, and fear. So everyone should resolve to rid themselves of these seven grievous ills and our countries. Because only when we live virtuous lives of morality, principle, character, sacrifice, labor, virtue, and faith, that this will leak into and leach through the fabric of the society in which we're living. It doesn't get there except through us. So how are these seven diseases to be got rid of? Sai Baba says love is the only means. God is love. Live in love. Love all. Serve all. You need no higher God than love. When love is developed, hatred will have no place. Injustice will be put out of bounds. People will not indulge in falsehood. They will not resort to wicked ways. People will follow then the right path. Therefore, deem love as God. Love is God's only property. It does not belong to man. It is not a purchasable commodity. It issues from the heart, in which the divine resides. Love alone can be said to be divine. Divine love is different from human attachments. It is timeless. It is omnipresent. Make it your sole ideal. It is inherent in you. Manifest it in the proper way. It goes on to speak of liberation, which I think I'll share with you as well. People aspire for mukti, liberation. They have no idea what constitutes liberation. Man seeks liberation from the ills of the body, the senses, the mind, the intellect, and the antakarana, or inner impulses. All of these are no doubt necessary. But liberation is the ultimate sense. Escape from the cycle of birth and death. This means that one should redeem one's present life so that one is free from rebirth. Most of people's diseases today have their origin in the mind. It is desires and worries that are the cause of many ailments, especially of the heart, the kidneys, and so forth. If you lead a life of courage, you will be all right. But consider, the moment you start feeling your pulse out of suspicion that it is weak, you will find that it is weak. It is your mind that is the cause of the weakness of the pulse. Many diseases are allowed to grow entirely due to mental factors. Man should pray to God for freedom from birth and death, so that they will not have bodies which are bound to be afflicted with diseases. There is no need for rigorous spiritual exercises to secure freedom from rebirth. Pure love of God is enough. This is exemplified by the simple cowherd maidens that surrounded Lord Krishna, the gopis, immersed always in the love of Krishna, they were always happy and contented. What is needed today is purity. Purity is divinity. Pure vision leads to pure thoughts. Pure thoughts result in pure actions. Pure action is essential for human existence. Purity in thoughts and purity in speech must lead to purity in deeds. This is the triple purity hailed by all the ancient rishis. When this purity is manifested, human life gets redeemed. One lives by the principle, help ever, hurt never. That becomes the governing principle in daily life and daily life. Pure vision naturally begets purity in speech through the refinement of the heart. Pure words must come out of the depth of the heart. Today it's all superficial with no heart, no love. One says hello, but it's superficial. It's not coming from the heart. Where is the cultivation and refinement of the heart? This is an important thing for each one of us as light workers to consider. Are we cultivating the refinement, the purification of the heart? A pure heart beholds the good, the holy, and the divine. That's how you can tell it's pure. It sees God. Wherever it looks, it notices the divinity, the purity, the wholesomeness, the oneness, the sameness that we all share. So, as light workers, the most important thing we can do is learn to live a life that's consistent at every level with our divine principle. That is, to have what we think and what we speak agree. So there's no disparity between the two. What we think and what we speak must be exemplified in how we act. And sure, we will forget from time to time. The whole process of active discipleship is bringing these lower levels into alignment so that every level is congruent with the heart in which the divine is installed. So we learn not to do heartless actions, not to speak heartless words. That is to say, words that are not sincere, and not arising from the truth within us, and not arising from the love that is our nature. It's an ongoing disciplining of the self, day in and day out. And you find that as you practice this, like any skill, it becomes second nature. And before you know it, you have become completely divine. Because, you see, divinity is purity. And God is man without ego. Just as man is God with ego. So, only when our thoughts, our words, and our actions are unified and congruent and emanate from the refinement of our purified heart, will unity manifest in society and also within us and consequently without. For the world we see is the world we be. So that's why everything begins and ends with our own deportment. Now, for the first time in 98,000 years since somewhere in the Atlantean root race. We are serving with some 20 of the masters who have immortalized their bodies and are now embodied physically in society, in the vicinity or directly in some of the major cities on our planet. The world teacher, Lord Maitreya himself, the head of the spiritual hierarchy governing Earth, as I've told you, has been living in London since 1977. All of these masters are working, I would say, through us in the physical world, because none of the masters actually walk. Well, they're visible, but you have to discern them. They're not going to wear a sign. They're not going to look like you might imagine them to look. I was impressed when I visited the Master Jesus, as I've shared with you several times, and I've been several times with him since. He goes by a name, although he's called the Master Jesus by the Masters, he goes by a regular name. He's living somewhere outside of the city of Rome. He lives simply but very tastefully in a very beautiful home, but not very different than any other Roman citizen of means. And I accompanied him when he went into the village to do some shopping. He was recognized as a respected member of the community, but I'm certain no one had a clue who he actually was. He acted very cordially and in a very friendly, normal manner as he interacted with the people. And then, of course, as I went back to his home, which I've been several times, I noticed he had a laptop computer. He lived quietly and simply. And like we all do, those of us who are light workers, he did his work, his inner plane work, his multidimensional work, in which at his stage of adeptship, he can work in more than one body, more than one place, more than one thing at the same time. But he said in particular he was working to establish the ecumenical joining of all of the different, some 32,000 different sects within humanity, of Christianity, I should say. And he was working with the Pope, the Dalai Lama, and all of the people who represent, let's say, Christendom, the Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox, the Coptic, the Roman Catholic, the Protestant, the Charismatic, all of these. And I was pleased to find that I was working with him in many of these projects. And perhaps you are as well. But he doesn't need to eat, but since eating is so much a part of social interaction, and so as not to appear odd, he does break bread with people. He does invite people to eat with him, as he did with me. But the food just turns into light within him. And so, in every way, he behaves as a normal human being, and as an ideal citizen. But as you go through your life, pay attention to those extraordinary people that you may meet that you can never forget. When you meet with one of these great, great souls, one of these great embodied masters, you will never forget it. So this is the first time in 98,000 years that the spiritual hierarchy has externalized into the everyday modern world. Sai Baba said that we're entering a time when the ashrams, the spiritual ashrams and training centers will dot the entire earth. We will know where these masters are. We will actually go to them for physical initiation in the temples, for physical ascension, and to be trained in their schools, which will be known the world over. So within the next few years, I think by 2020, if I'm not mistaken, there will be 40 of these masters living in the outer physical world. There are some, I would say, 16 to 20 of them now. And I have met Maitreya, the world teacher. Oh, I would say 8 times, maybe more now. And I've been with the Master Jesus about 4, 5, 6 times now. But he always tells me not to think of him outside in a separate form, not to be, again, fooled by the outer form, but to know that he lives as a state of loving purity within. You might think of each of these masters as your own ideal self manifested outwardly. So again, they're all known by their love, by the refinement and purity of their heart, and by the congruency between what they say, what they think, what they do, so that their very presence and their auric field is bringing a transformation throughout humanity. Not only that, but we've come. We are the ones who undoubtedly were the disciples of Jesus, the chelas of these great ascended masters, the chelas of the Lord Buddha, the bhikshus. Undoubtedly, we were the devotees of Krishna, Rama, and now the Lord Sai Baba, who is a cosmic gift of grace, completely beyond the earth's evolution. He's not part of the earth or the earth's evolution, like the ascended masters are. The Lord Sai Baba walks the earth as a full, a Purna avatar, which is to say, a complete manifestation of the principles that we call Father, Mother, God. The very embodiment of the golden age we're moving into now, which will be the age of satya, or truth. The very assurance that every single one of us have been called to participate in this great collective mission that of all of these masters, we're all here as team players. Each one of us has been birthed out of one of the 7 sages. That would be our home lineage, or our home master, our home ray. We're part and parcel of a great divine entity that we have come through as a ray is emanated from a great sun. Is it important for us to know which one? No, that's another curiosity question. The important thing to know is that you have source. You have lineage, and you have an upline that has sponsored you into time-space as a servant of God, as a tributary of living love and living light and grace. And because of your advent, everything you do is on purpose. Everything is part of your mission. So So there are several groups of people that we each work with that I'm going to go through. And they, again, are all mixed up in society. You can't tell unless you discern. You have to discern where your people are that you're working with. And people come to you because you're the best person to speak into their lives and to serve them in their awakening. That's why they're in your face. They're yours. They're yours to foster, to life coach, to disciple, to set an example before. And it depends upon your stage of awakening, your state of consciousness, as to who you draw to you, which is generally someone just short of where you are, so that you can help them come up to the next step. So here are the groupings. First of all, there's the unawakened masses of humanity, which form the largest group in any nation. And their main focus is upon survival. They are operating entirely as puppets of subconscious conditioning and karmic momentums at the personal, the national, and the collective level. The next grouping, awakening out of the masses, are the men and women of goodwill. These individuals are beginning to expand their awareness beyond their personal family to include the well-being of others. These are those who have been described as the good-hearted folk, the salt of the earth types. Religious, humanitarian, charitable, and social service organizations the world over are filled with the men and women of goodwill. The Tibetan master Dzogchen, or DK, has stated that to qualify as a person of goodwill, one must have formed a heart connect with at least 9 people apart from one's own family. So, the men and women of goodwill are starting to respond to positive impression from their higher selves, as well as the influence exerted by the light workers, that's you and me, with whom they come into contact. So we are to set an example for them. The next group, which would include many light workers, is called by the masters the new group of world servers. These individuals have awakened to where they are responsive to soul contact and are starting to consciously tread the Godward path. These are the seekers, the aspirants, the devotees, the ones who are being drawn along some particular approach to their co-workers and to a particular master and ashram upon the inner planes. Now, out of this group, the more advanced will begin to undertake discipleship. That's when they're taken under the wing or mentorship of a particular master and begin their training. And thus they will pass through the first 2 initiations of the threshold, as they're called. That would be the first initiation, which requires mastery of the physical body, and the second initiation, which requires mastery of the emotional or astral body. And, of course, concomitant with this is the disciplining of the mind. So these are the disciples of the light, of the lighted way, and many of these people are finding their way to your door if you're a spiritual teacher. When Jesus turned to Peter and asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And after about the 3rd time, Peter was a little irritated, and he said, "Why do you ask me? Of course I love you. And Jesus turned to him and said, "Then feed my lambs." And then again Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." So in esoteric speak, the lambs are the first initiates, and the sheep are the second initiates. And we as spiritual mentors are called to shepherd these sheep and to feed them. It's said that people are starving for truth. So don't pussyfoot around and dumb down when you talk to people. Toss the bar in at a high level. At a high level. Don't waste your time talking banalities and things that obviously can be seen on the evening news or the Weather Channel or whatever. Make every word that you speak a word of light. And a step upward, a boost, a catalyst, something that they won't forget because it's jiggled something within them that they can't forget. It's designed to. So be courageous in doing that. Now, out of this group of first and second degree initiates, there are a few that are going through the third initiation of transfiguration. And that's the first initiation, according to the masters, in which there is complete merger of the soul with its human personality. And out of them will come the fourth degree initiate, because sometimes the third and fourth degrees are taken in the same lifetime if one comes in early enough and awakens and follows the spiritual training, you know, early enough in life. Sometimes the third and fourth are undergone in the same life. This is where you go through tremendous degrees of relinquishment, disillusionment, and often suffering, because the third initiation renders you transfigured, and the fourth is rightly termed the crucifixion, where all of the personal self, the ego, the self-interest, the self-glorification, all of that dies. And sometimes one even gives one's life, as in the case of Jesus of Nazareth, who was undergoing the fourth initiation at the time of his physical crucifixion. So if you feel like you're being turned every which way but loose, and you're going through bloody hell, and everything is being wrested from you, and you don't know what else more you could lose, perhaps you're going through the fourth initiation, which is excruciating, literally. The next group is then of the adepts, the fifth degree initiates, who have attained full mastery. And the next would be the Lords of Light, or Chohans, that are sixth degree initiates. Now, to give you some context here, the Christ, the world teacher, the Lord Maitreya himself, is said to be the highest of Earth's evolution, and he is at the seventh degree of initiation. And these degrees, you can read about them more in detail in the Alice Bailey teachings. The book, particularly The Rays and the Initiations, goes through that, and also Initiation Human and Solar. But it deglamorizes the whole process that has become so distorted in many of the New Age teachings. But this is the real teaching that's coming from the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood of Masters, of which the Master DK was one of them. Now, avatars can come in at even higher levels, such as Satya Sai Baba, for they are not part of the Earth's evolution, and hence they're not part of the initiatory process as undertaken on Earth, but they are cosmic in origin and come in as special and rare agents of divine intervention. For avatars, initiation doesn't apply as it does for Earth's inhabitants, because most of these avatars come from non-fallen worlds. On the other hand, Earth's inhabitants required a special remedial course to get them back on track after the fall into lower consciousness, which occurred during the Atlantean root race, which lasted some 150,000 years and ended in the Great Flood and total destruction. So, now it is the bearers of light, star-seeded emissaries, disciples and initiates who are working with the people on Earth. The masters who work in the world, but through us, they, let's say, give an impression upon the soul level to those of us who then have to intuit and tune in to their directive. They don't come and poke you on the shoulder and say, go do this and go do that. They don't work like that. They work subtly through telepathic rapport with their disciples and initiates in the world, which would be you and me. Now, we're the ones who are working with the people of Earth, who are in the process of awakening and finding their soul purpose and places of service. So it is our task to speak, write, teach, do radio and TV shows, YouTube, make movies, do seminars, blog, write articles and books, and get the spiritual info to those who are seeking. It's our job to coach, train, mentor these seekers. That's what we're here for. We're not here for ourselves so much as we're here to serve that function. Now, in serving the function, you'll have to be careful you don't start buying into what you're doing, because when you get sucked into the scenario, the Maya, the gerbil cage, the karmic free-for-all that's happening in the outer world, if you get into that and buy into it, you pick up the karma. You have to really be cool, be neutral, and always remember who you are. You have to know that you're divine, that you're here on Earth assignment, that you're a divine embodiment, and that you're just here as a functionary through which the divine can operate. That's it. So today on social media, for example, we can become all worked up and agitated by all the issues and injustices. Political, religious, social, the hidden agendas, the human abuses, all that's going on. The disinformation, the lies, the cover-ups, all of it. Stay out of it. Don't get all caught up in that. It's just karma being worked out. Those of you who have a karmic necessity to be involved in those areas, at the same time that you are working through your karma, try to wake up beyond the outer appearance and remember who you are so that you can transcend that karma. Use soul transcendence to live above the fray, and not to get sucked into those vortices of energy. It's very easy to get caught up in these issues as we read
react and post or tweet, to where we lose awareness as an objective observer participant. And that is our big test today, to respond from awareness without emotionally getting sucked into the issue. Know that absolutely nothing new is going on. It's the same old karmic wheel spinning, just as it has in age after age, history after history. It's just the same people switching roles and doing the same nonsense over and over again. Only this time we're here as divine pattern interrupters. We are inserts of awakened consciousness entering the dream field. And that's where our greatest empowerment lies. So, it's just that today, social media and cable news and so forth brings immediate awareness and knowing throughout the globe. You know, everybody knows within a matter of seconds sometimes what's happening. And because of that, we can become greatly distracted as well as disheartened because we think things are getting worse, whereas according to Sai Baba, they're getting better. It's just that everything that was hidden has come to light because it's the dawning of the age of truth. And all lies, all disinformation, all of the petty deceits and larcenies of the hearts of man is now uncovered and open for everybody to see. Because we're awakening. People are actually waking up. And the fact that they're waking up is why they're reacting and not allowing this nonsense to keep going on and on and on. So there is a need for the voices of social advocates to be heard. If you feel called to that, then that would be your dharma. But again, be detached. You know, don't buy into the issue. Maintain your composure and your equanimity. And remember God. Remember that God is in charge. God is the reality, the only reality, and that reality is love. Love is the greatest power. Love is truth. Love is evidence of the presence of God. And love is what heals all things. So, it's important that the relentless but peaceful pressure keeps being pushed upon human injustice and the need for social reform. Those of you that are in those fields, keep at it, but again, don't lose yourself in them. We can participate as we are prompted by our conscience. Conscience is God in you, speaking to you. So obey your conscience, but without losing mindful, detached awareness. When we can do that, our action becomes dharma and is karma free. If you believe you're the doer rather than God, you get the karma of the doing. So be smart. As light workers, our position is to promote the highest good and the best outcome for all people. We are not to polarize in any way that's against another. What you resist and fight against, you see, you're lending strength to it. You're keeping it in place because there's no escape from polarization and duality. It's just A to B and B to A and back and forth and back and forth. You have to transcend to the higher level through your spirit to ascend beyond duality and polarization. So always work for an amicable solution without taking sides. Wish the best for everyone. For you as advancing light workers here in service, the task is always expanding awareness. And the call is always to serve without a personal agenda to receive anything in return. That's what makes your work without ego. If you have your hand out all the time, you're operating out of ego. What we need to learn is the skill of selfless service. In Sanskrit, that's called nishkama karma, which means activity without desire for a return. There's no desire for self-promotion, nothing that would serve our personal interests, without any expectation, even of thanks. It has to be offered, and then you step on to the next thing. You don't look back, you don't appraise it, you don't do any of that. You just act and keep going so that you don't even remember what you did. It's to serve entirely as an instrument of the Divine Spirit. Only in this way can one avoid adding more karma to one's plate. Offer all of your actions to God. When you do that, they're karmic free. When you do that, you have turned your action into a yoga. For example, if you're exercising because you want to lose weight or whatever, you get the karma for that. If you offer your exercise or your weight loss or giving up smoking or whatever to God, it becomes a yoga. So, pay attention. Offer everything to God. Then, when you do things for God, as your love made manifest, the God that indwells every individual will respond and bless you, because God lives in the hearts of all beings, whether or not they're aware of it, and whether or not they're capable of allowing that to express, they have that as a potential. So practicing mindfulness is essential. Listening to what we are giving voice to as we speak. What part is speaking? The unconscious ego mind running its patterns, telling its story? Or is the conscious and aware self running the show? Pay attention to what you lend your agreement to, because that creates a karmic link and fortifies whatever you are agreeing with. Never agree with something that you don't want to have manifest in the world. When you come into agreement with any kind of negativity, you're fostering that. Place your agreement where it's going to manifest what you want more of in your life and to see advance in the world. Better still, speak less. And when you do speak, weigh your words very carefully, making certain that they align with your heart and your conscience and are consistent with what you truly believe. More and more you'll come to understand why silence is the language of the self-realized. Also, Sai Baba has said that excessive speech is what causes allergies. So if you're suffering from allergies, pay attention and zip those lips. So watch your actions to be always mindful of the example you are setting for others. If we lead to others adopting wrong thoughts and acts, we are held karmically responsible, not them. Watch that your behavior is in keeping with good character and dharmic action that harms no one. Sai Baba has taught that while we cannot always oblige, nevertheless, we must speak obligingly. And when it comes to speech, our words must never harm, insult, or willingly offend another. If that would be the case, that in telling truth you would cause pain to another person, then it's best to remain silent, according to Baba. You don't always have to speak. You don't always have to give an answer or an opinion. When it's a case of your words causing pain to another, zip it. So keeping yourself clear from empathing, co-resonating, and adding unnecessary karma physically, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. As a doer, you have to die to that sense that you're doing anything. You have to learn, like Jesus, to say, I of myself do nothing. It is the Father within that does all the work. I do only what the Father tells me. And by Father, you can think of it as your conscience or your refined, pure, and loving heart that's acting. Because that will be the God in you that is acting. When you do your work, always ask for the Christ. Why? Because through the Christ action, grace entered the world and transcended the effect of the law of karma. So you must learn to work in the Christ light through His indwelling power, which is your true self, the Christ within you, the hope and glory. Always use the light to fill, surround, clear, and protect yourself, and the violet flame before, during, and after serving. The violet flame transmutes all disqualified energy and purifies. So remember that. That will keep you clear. Work from the impersonal self. Offer your actions to God. Remember that all teaching and all learning is maximal. That's what Jesus teaches us in the Course of Miracles. So maintain neutrality, which is soul awareness. No polarizing stance, no siding against anyone or anything. Hold the light for the highest good, the most benevolent outcome, the highest divine will to prevail. And pray for the awakening of the evildoers, of the terrorists and people who do evil and inhumane and unjust and horrific acts. Pray for their awakening. Overcome evil by goodness, as Jesus has taught, and pray for your enemies. Never return evil, for then you perpetrate evil and create more karma. So, do it all for God, in God's name, as God's divine love made manifest. And I hope this has been helpful to you this evening. Hold your hands up and give your blessing to all the worlds and all the beings of all the worlds. And let your heart be your guide, your pure heart, your divine heart. And we'll go out with one Anahu. Deep breath. Anahu. Blessings and grace, Adonai.